Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Let you and I endeavor to serve God according to His Word. There are so many things the Bible teaches us regarding fathers. For an example, in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, a passage I'm sure that all of us are reminded of from time to time, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." You and I can turn to the book of Colossians, and we can read a similar passage in which the instruction is given. If you and I go back to the Old Testament, certainly you and I, when we look at fathers and fathers' responsibilities, many times in our efforts to help our fathers understand those responsibilities, we will use illustrations taken from the Old Testament. The illustration, for an example, I think so much when we look at a man like Eli, who was the judge of Israel. And when Samuel heard God, Samuel, he didn't understand what was going on. Eli said to him, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." He goes back and God says to Samuel, "I am going to judge the house of Eli." And he said, "It will not be a judgment that can be stopped on the basis of sacrifice." This is found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3. He said it cannot be stopped by the fact of sacrifices because Eli's sons have not obeyed his or my will. And listen to this. The Bible says, "And Eli did not restrain them." The next day, Eli said to Samuel, "What did the Lord have to say to thee? And do not keep anything back from me, for if you do, you will suffer as a result." That's my paraphrase. The Bible tells us that Samuel told Eli everything that would take place. Now I want you to go back with me for a few minutes. When you and I look at this Old Testament passage, one of the things that would come to our mind immediately, here is Samuel. God speaks to him. God tells him what he's going to do to the house of Eli and why he's going to do it. I don't know about you, but it would seem to me that that would make an impression on my mind. However, it did not make an impression, apparently, on the mind of Samuel. Because all you and I need to do is go down about two chapters more to the 8th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll tell you what we find out. The Bible says that Samuel, in chapter number 7, that he was going about from Gilgal and other places, judging the people and so forth. And the Bible says that his sons disobeyed. You go to the next chapter and what happened? The sons of Samuel do almost the same thing as the sons of Eli. You and I can go again to the Old Testament and we find this great man who was king of Israel by the name of David. And we see what David did in committing fornication with Bathsheba, committing adultery. And then how Nathan came to David, and Nathan said to David as a result of God's instruction, he said, "David, the sword shall not depart from thy house." And when you look at Absalom, you look at Amon, you look at what Amon did to his sister Tamar, and then Absalom's rebellion against his father, then you and I can see the consequences of David's actions and his failure to serve God and his failure to do the will of God when it came to Bathsheba and it came to Uriah and the deceit and the murder and the adultery that he had committed. So you and I can look at the lives of these men. And when we look at the lives of these men, and whether it be fathers, you and I look at our families. We must find today in our world, in our society, that there is a time that we need to build strong families today because we are being bombarded on every hand. Now then, we look at those illustrations. I want to look at a second one. If you have a copy of the Old Testament, go back with me again to the book of Genesis. In the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us about God's plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God asked this question. He said, can I keep this thing from my servant Abraham? And he comes to the conclusion that I cannot keep this from my servant Abraham. And God makes a statement. So if you have a Bible in Genesis chapter number 18 and verse number 19, I want you to look at what the Bible says regarding Abraham. First of all, God said, I know him, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, he said, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God said, I know. Now, you look at this. There are three things here that I want to explore before we go to our third and final point. The Bible said, God said, I know Abraham. God had observed his life. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a Facebook. And that is simply this fact, that God knows the life of Larry Acuff. God knows the life of every single one of us. And just as you and I may record information on Facebook, every idle word that man shall speak, he'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. God is recording the life of every single one of us. And so when the Bible, God said, I know Abraham. My friend, you and I, whether you be a father or a mother or whether you be single, doesn't make any difference. God the Father knows the life of Larry Acuff. I may hide in my office, but I haven't hid from God. My life may be something I think I can hide from the members of the church. I may be able to hide it from the world, but ladies and gentlemen, God knows my life. And so the next question I may ask is this, what does God know about my life? Well, you and I know that He knows it all. But there are three things in Genesis 18:19 about Abraham. Number one is this. Abraham, God knew his life. He was present. Got three words, all of them begin with a P, real quickly. Abraham was present. He knew what was going on. Look at what the Bible says. I know he will command his family. I know he will command his family. You see, God looked at this man Abraham, and God had such confidence and such faith in Abraham, he said, I know he's going to command his family. I'm asking this question to each of us today. Does God know that we are going to command our family? Recently, Brother Marshall, I read where Brother Marshall Keeble made this statement, and it's probably been made by others as well. They may have gotten it from him, or I don't know where. But someone made this statement, that everything is run in our house by a switch, but the children. Now, you think about that. Abraham was present with his family. He could not lead them. He could not guide them unless he was present with them. If you look at these examples of both Samuel and Eli, you know what you'll find out? You'll find out that they were away from their families. That they were here and they were there and they were somewhere else and they were not spending the kind of time with their families. I have a sermon I preach called How to Make an A in Parenting. And one of those A's is availability. That as a parent, that as a father, that you and I have availability and that we look at our families and we look at our children to such an extent that we are available parents. Not only was Abraham present, but he was also, look at this, he was also a provider for his family. Now, I'm not talking about food. Completely. We got a house, we got our cars, we got our food. We provide all of these quotations. We provide these material things. But the interesting thing that you and I look at the life of Abraham, not only he was quite wealthy, the Bible tells us. He was a provider of his family. But I want to tell you this, he was a spiritual provider as well. You remember? Do you remember when God said to Abraham, I want you to take thy son, thine only son. I want you to take thine only son and you're going to offer him as a sacrifice. God, you mean Isaac? Wait a minute. Whoa, back up. This is my only son. You told me you were going to give me a son. You told me that all the nations are going to be blessed because of my seed. He said, look at the stars and look at the sand on the seashore, and from you will all nations of the earth be blessed. I mean, it's going to be widespread. And now you're saying to me, take my son, my only son, and take him up on Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. God said, yes. And he did. He did. Now watch this. When they got to that mountain, and they left the servant down at the bottom, and they go to the top of that, they go to Mount Moriah, and he is getting ready to sacrifice, and his son asked a question. And his son said, we've got all of these things here, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Remember the answer that Abraham gave? The answer that Abraham gave was, God will provide. God will provide. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that when you and I, as children of God, man, I want to tell you, I want to get up and just preach again after Brother Gary McDade in his lesson today. Because emphasizing, when you look at these martyrs, these individuals who have shed their blood for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, and these wimpy ideas that folks have about faithfulness, they do not go together. And it didn't fit with Abraham, and God was pleased. Now watch, God will provide. Daddies and mamas and families, when you and I begin to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when you and I begin to give ourselves completely, when we seek Him first, listen, Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Your life is hid with God in Christ. When we begin to do that, somebody said, oh, but Malika, I don't know about it. Put faith and trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible said, trust in the Lord and lean not upon thine own understanding. Abraham was a man not only who was present, but he was a man who was a provider. Number 3, he was a protector. Now, what happens? Look at Abraham. You remember? Let me give you an example just quickly. Abraham, they had come and taken his nephew Lot. What did Abraham do? Well, ain't nothing I can do about it. Man, Lot ought to have better sense. No. Abraham got everything together. He said, that's my nephew. And Abraham proceeds to defend and to fight for his family. Somebody said, well, Brother Acuff, what do you want me to do? Go down to school when my kids are being bullied? No, I'm not. Have you fought for your family? The devil is against you. The devil is going to do everything he can to take your children away from you. I have mentioned this many times. When we go back to 1917 and the Communist Manifesto, Marxism idea had this in mind. They said, we're going to put daddy in the factory, we're going to put mama in the field, and we're going to put the children in daycare. And what Marxism did by design, America has done by neglect. And the part of that is simply that we have not been putting our faith and trust in God and in His Word. And are we, ladies and gentlemen, protecting our boys and girls against the onslaught of the devil and his army with postmodernism? You know what that is? Let me just give you a brief definition. Let me tell you what your children are being taught. Now, you don't, I mean, I may be through at 3 this afternoon. This just burns deep within my heart. That our boys and girls, postmodernism says this. Postmodernism says that you decide what is true. See, it used to be when you go back in history, there was the time when the Bible is true. The Word of God is true. The Bible is true. Morality, ethic, the Bible is true. Now, we come to modernism, and modernism says, well, not everything in the Bible is true. Some things in the Bible are true, and we ought to be guided by that. But now, we are living in what is referred to as the millennial age, in which we have said, no, it doesn't matter what the Bible is. What makes a difference is what you believe to be true. Now, they're being taught that. Are you and I protecting them? And I'm going to say this again and again and again because I love you and I love your boys and girls. I love your sons and daughters. You can't bring them to church 1 hour a week and overcome the world. It won't work. I wish it would, but it won't. So you see, when I look at Abraham, and I look at the fact that he was present, that he was a provider, that he was a protector. Alright, I got 3 points. I don't have a poem. They say preachers got 3 points in a poem. I just got 3 points. I don't have a poem. Point number one is, we look at Samuel, Eli, and David. Number two, we look at Abraham. Now number three, Daddy. Have you ever set your son down or your children down, your sons and daughters, have you ever set them down and said, now we're going to have a little talk? Okay. What? Let's go through it. Talk to me. They misbehave and you say, man, and I remember one old boy one time, he said, Ivy, can you get old enough to whip? I think he's still saying that to him, he's 15. Now, you can sit down and talk to your children, Daddy. You can sit them down and you can have a speech made out on any subject. On honesty, you can make out on sexual responsibility. You can make it out on anything. Do you remember the saying? I cannot hear what you say for seeing what you do. My dad never had. Now, if you'll just pardon the personal illustration, I want to use my dad. Lessons that I have learned are learned from my daddy. My dad never sat me down and talked to me about anything. I can never remember. As a matter of fact, I can't remember a whole lot of conversation. And I will tell you what, my dad worked the afternoon shift. He went to work at 2:30, 3 o'clock every afternoon. Well, look, I got up in the morning and went to school. Well, I went to the donut shop and then went to school. And so I'd get up in the morning and I'd go. And the time I get home, Daddy's gone. He comes home at 11:30 at night. I am in bed or supposed to be home and in bed. That was his rule. But I'm going to tell you some things I saw, lessons that I learned in my dad. Those of you sitting in this assembly today, make your own list. Number one, work, work, work. My dad worked. My dad got home 11:30 at night. He didn't lay in the bed in the morning. He got up and he's working on the house. My dad could do anything. He could put a car together. He could build a house. He didn't make any difference. One day he comes home. He said, hey, I'm going to remodel. I'm going to change the house all around, put the living room in the front. I'm going to put the kitchen up here in the front. I'm going to make a dining room here. I'm going to build a bedroom. And he did it all by himself. I didn't know how to do it, and I didn't help him. I stood there and probably like this and said, whoo. But I want to tell you something. My dad made cabinets for other people. He'd take that pine wood and make these cabinets for other people. My dad helped a cousin of mine who owned about 200 apartments. He had helped her take care of them. I learned that work is essential. Isn't that what the Bible says? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with him. Mama, Daddy, our children seeing the concept of work. Number two, I learned commitment. from my dad. I learned commitment from him. See, he had... Now this, you may say, well, so what? But this always impressed my mind. I'd try to get Dad and Mom to come when I was preaching in Cookeville, Tennessee area. I'd try to get them to come on Sunday. Come over and visit with us. He might do it rarely. And I said to Mom, I said, why in the name of common sense can you not get Daddy to come? She said, Larry, your dad has the responsibility. Now you're going to say this is so insignificant, but it taught me something. She said, Larry, your dad has the responsibility of counting the attendance on Sunday morning. And she said, he does not think lightly of just not being there or not doing his job. I thought, wow. That's commitment. See, anyway, I mean, he could have up and come every weekend. He didn't do that. I've got a job. They are expecting me to do this job. I'm going to do it. Third thing. Faithfulness to Christ when nobody's looking. I'll never forget this. We were, April and Jim and I, we were visiting my parents. I slept on the couch that night because I had set up that night reading. I had been reading a book called Will God Run by Charles Hodge. And I'd gotten so involved in the book, I just slept on the couch. I heard a voice about 6 o'clock in the morning. And that voice wasn't talking to Larry. And I thought, what is that? My dad was getting ready to go to work. He got up, he had prepared his breakfast, sat down at the table, and audibly expressed his thanks to God, his prayer for those blessings. He had no idea I was even in hearing distance. That taught me something. That you are who you are when nobody's watching. Number four, faithfulness to the Word of God. When I started preaching, Dad said this to me. He said, Larry, I want to tell you something. I guess if he ever told me that, this is it right here. I said, what is it? He said, let me tell you something. If you will know the Bible and preach the Bible and quote the Scripture, you never have to worry about what you have said. I thought that's great. I've tried to follow that. That's a lesson I learned. There's four. I got five, but now those four are the ones I've learned. Now the fifth one I didn't. The fifth one I just dismissed. Now, I don't know if that's good, but I dismissed it. Here's what I learned. Go fishing. So Dad went fishing. Saturday morning, 6 o'clock. I went, as you know, some of you who heard, no, I went one time. We left at 6 in the morning. We took Vienna sausages and sardines and crackers and Coca-Cola. Stayed there all day. Didn't catch a thing. 6 o'clock, got dark, time to go home. He wouldn't let me talk. I said, Brother Danny, that's the end of my fishing day. Now then, when you leave here today, write down some things that you have learned from your daddy. Because in time, those memories will come back. When my dad passed away, I wasn't present. I didn't have the opportunity to express my thanks to him for what he had done in my life. He didn't make any speeches. He didn't say, now boy, let me tell you this, except that one time. But he just went about his life on a day-to-day basis. And behind his life were three boys who were looking at it. Your children, Daddy, that's what they'll learn. They'll learn how important the church is. They'll learn how important the Bible is. They'll learn how important prayer is. They'll learn how important honesty is. No, not because you preach to them, teach them, set them, which I think is needful as well, but because of the life that you and I live.